Listen, I'm going to tell you a couple of short stories this morning, and I want to tell you a joke. And it all has a purpose. We're going somewhere. You guys sometimes know I have to take the beltway around instead of taking 295 right through. Sometimes I just got to go around to get to where we're going. They get shorter as we go, so the first one's kind of long, the second one is shorter, and then the joke is pretty short. But there's a principle, there's a common thread that can be found in all three. So I'm hoping, I think, you're probably going to catch it, but let's see. This is the first story. A successful businessman was growing old and knew it was time to choose a successor to take over the business. So instead of choosing one of his directors or his children, he decided to do something different. I'm sure they were all excited about that. He called all the young execs in the company together, and he said, "It's time for me to step down, and I have to choose a new CEO. I've decided to choose one of you." Now, they were all very shocked, but he said, "Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give each one of you a seed today. If you've heard this, don't spoil it for the people around you. I'm going to give you a very special seed. I want you to take the seed, plant it, water it, and come back here a year from today with what you've grown. I will judge between everybody's, and I will choose one person to be the next CEO. I want you to bring the plants that you grow, and I'll judge among them, and I'll choose the next CEO." There was a guy there by the name of Jim, and he, like all the others, the young execs, he got a seed. And he was very excited. He went home, and he told his wife about it, and his wife helped him to get a pot, and helped him to get the soil and some fertilizer. Thank God for women. Thank you for helping us. So he went home, and he told her, and he planted the seed, and every day he started to water it. And they used compost. They did all the right things. Each day, he went to look to see if anything was changing. And after about 3 weeks, at the office, the other execs were beginning to talk about the plants that they were beginning to see grow. He wasn't seeing anything yet. 4 weeks go by. 5 weeks go by. 6 weeks go by, and no plant. And he just keeps watering and keeps fertilizing and keeps hoping. And he's not saying anything about his plant. The execs are talking about it, and he's not saying anything because nothing's growing. He's 6 months into it, still nothing, and he's starting to feel like a real failure. So, another 6 months go by, and it's time. He just knew. He knew he'd killed the seed. All these other people, they must have a green thumb. He knew he killed his seed. So, they all show up after the year, and they all bring them to the room, to the big board room for the CEO for his inspection. And before he left that morning, Jim said to his wife, "I'm not going with an empty pot." But she said, "Listen, you've got to be honest about this and tell them what happened." And Jim was sick because this was going to be the most embarrassing moment of his life. But he knew that she was right. Thank God for women. He knew that she was right. So he took his empty pot to the boardroom. And when he arrived, he was amazed by the variety of plants that the other executives have grown. They were beautiful, all shapes and sizes. But Jim just put his empty pot on the floor and went to the back of the room. Many of his colleagues were there, and several of them were laughing and making fun, and a few of them felt sorry for him. And when the CEO arrived, he surveyed the room, and he greeted everybody, and Jim just tried to hide. The CEO said, "What incredible plants and trees and flowers you have grown. As I promise you, today one of you will be appointed the next CEO." And all of a sudden, he spotted Jim at the very back and saw Jim with his empty pot. And he ordered him to be brought forward, and Jim thought, "This is it. He knows I failed. I'm probably going to get fired." So when Jim got to the front, the CEO asked him what had happened with his seat, and Jim told him honestly the story. The CEO told everyone to sit down except Jim. He looked at Jim and then announced to the young executives, "This is your next chief executive officer." And Jim couldn't believe it because his seed had not grown. He couldn't even grow his seed. And the others were saying audibly, "How can this guy be the new CEO?" And the current CEO said, "One year ago today, I gave everybody in this room a seed. I told you to take it, plant it, water it, and bring it back to me today. But I gave you all dead seeds. I had boiled them. It was not possible for them to grow. All of you except Jim have brought me trees and plants and flowers, because when you found that your seed would not grow, you substituted it for another one. Only Jim brought me back the seed that I gave him. Therefore, he's your new CEO." Exactly. That's exactly how I felt. Not a mess with your mind. That's story number one. Story number two. This was a little sadder. That's why I put it in the middle, and I end with a joke. Don't get upset with me. Stay with me. A frail old man went to live with his son, his daughter-in-law, and their 4-year-old child, his grandson. He He was very old, and the old man's hands trembled, and his eyesight was blurred, and his step faltered. The family worked together at the table, but the elderly grandfather's shaky hands and failing sight made eating difficult. Peas would roll off his spoon onto the floor. When he tried to grasp his glass, the milk would spill onto the tablecloth. The son and the daughter-in-law became very irritated with the mess. "We've got to do something about my father," said the son. "I've had enough of spilled milk, noisy eating, and food on the floor." So the husband and wife set a small table in the corner. There, grandfather ate alone while the rest of the family enjoyed dinner. Since grandfather had broken a dish or two, his food was even served in a wooden bowl. When the family glanced in his direction from time to time, it seemed almost as if there were a tear in his eye as he sat by himself. Still, the only words that they had for him, the couple had for him, were admonitions when he would drop a fork or spill his food or his milk. Their four-year-old watched it all in silence. One evening before supper, the father noticed his son playing with some wooden scraps on the floor, and he said to the child, "Son, what are you making?" The son sweetly replied, "Oh, I'm making little bowls for you and Mama to eat your food out of when I grow up." The four-year-old smiled and went back to work. And here's the bad pastor joke. Late one evening, a gentleman scuttled out to his garage and pulled the lawn furniture out onto the driveway. Shortly after, he brought out the lawnmower, a few gardening tools, and a bicycle. A curious neighbor was watering his lawn in the evening and wandered over and asked if he was going to have a garage sale. "No," replied the gentleman. "My son just bought his first car, and he's out right now on a big date. He'll be dropping the girl off soon and coming home." "So what's with all the stuff?" asked the neighbor. "Well, after years of moving tricycles, toys, and sports equipment out of the way, every time I came home from work, I wanted to make sure the driveway was ready for him." Oh, that gives me such ideas for my child. They were different, but I wonder if you heard the common theme. I wonder if you heard the thread that could be found. Because there's a law in nature. It's the law of sowing and reaping. What you sow, you will reap. Did you notice that in the first story? Jim would not falsify his seed. And so he reaped a promotion. He sowed honesty, integrity, and open-heartedness. And he was rewarded for it. In the second story, the couple sowed frustration and distance and rejection. And I hope they got their act right, because they were going to get that from their son. That's what they were going to reap in their relationship with their child. And this young man who, growing up, had left his toys out everywhere, the father, his cheeky dad, decided to get some back after so many years. Sowing and reaping. It's a natural law. In this picture, you can see what's being planted here are yellow onions. And there's lots of things that have to happen. The soil has got to be good. They've got to get nutrients. They've got to get water. They've got to get sunlight. But if they get all of those things, if all of those things are true, then those bulbs right there will inerrantly produce yellow onions. That's how this works. No one has ever or will ever get an apple tree from wheat seeds or vice versa. You cannot plant apple seeds and grow wheat. That's not how it works. It's a natural law. Now, I know somebody in here might know some scientific fact about one planet, a plant on the whole world that does that thing. Just bear with me, all right? You guys love to prove preachers wrong. I feel pretty confident in most cases what you plant is what you harvest. It's a natural law. What seeds you sow determine the plant that grows. That's just simply how it works, but it's also a spiritual law. In Scripture, just like in nature, what you plant, you will harvest. What you sow, you will reap. Go ahead and go to Galatians chapter 6, because that's where we're going to be today for just a few minutes. As you're going there, I'll tell you other places in the Scripture. Job tells us that those who sow trouble will reap it. My God, how I know that is true. Proverbs tells us that the one who sows righteousness reaps a reward. Proverbs also says that the one who sows injustice will reap calamity. Hosea or Hoshea, tells us that Israel sowed to the wind, and because she sowed to the wind, she reaped the whirlwind. 2 Corinthians says that he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and vice versa. James, the brother of Jesus, says that peacemakers who sow peace will reap righteousness. And in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10, this is what Paul says to the Galatians. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time, we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Reaping and sowing, it's not just a natural law, it's an immutable law of God that means unchangeable. It's something that does not change, will never change, has not changed. From the beginning, it is true and will always be true. For every human being who has ever, is currently, or will ever walk the planet, what you sow, you will reap. Full disclosure, the context of this verse is financial and material. What Paul is telling the Galatians is that they should materially and financially support those who have the burden of carrying and sharing the gospel in Galatia. It's so important that we have context to our scripture, folks. Now, Paul is going to expand it. He does, actually, in those few verses. He expands it from just a monetary context. But listen, just the chapter before, he was talking about the fruit of the Spirit. In chapter 5, he's talking about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And then the first parts of this chapter, he's talking about how we've got to be so intent and so focused, lest we fall into sin, because temptation is everywhere all the time. And then we've got to learn how to carry each other's burdens and support one another. We've got to learn how to do that. Then he's saying, listen, and you need to support. You need to support those who are doing the work of the gospel. You need to sow into that. Context is important, folks. Because I can take this verse out of context and apply it to whatever I want to in your life. But that's not fair. You need to know that it was a financial thing that is expansive. Literally, just the other day, I heard a pastor refer to a verse 2,600 years before Jesus was even born, and used it in reference to something that's happening in the world today. And I struggle with that. Because what the verse refers to is the coming of the Babylonian army. The verse that he referenced, see, God is going to do a new thing that you can't even understand. It's so amazing that you can't even understand it. He was talking about how the Babylonian Empire was going to come and destroy part of Israel. And he was using it in the context of how the gospel is growing in the world. You got to be careful, folks, with context. You got to be so careful. I say that to you because as we read the Word and as we listen to what's coming from the outside in, we've got to know the truth. Paul is talking about money, but he takes it in this particular section of Scripture from just the money all the way into salvation. That's exactly what he does. He expands the context because he talks about the law of sowing and reaping because, again, it's unchangeable. But it's also more applicable, it's applicable to more than just money, as I think we all know. The other scriptures prove it. You heard me read from Job, well, paraphrase, and from Corinthians, and from Proverbs, and from Hosea. The principle of sowing and reaping doesn't just apply to money. Verse 7, and this is one of those verses that makes me completely, I am so uncomfortable. Do not be deceived, God cannot be mocked. Mocking God makes me feel a little quivery inside. Do you understand what I mean? That's one of those things that I never want to approach anything that looks like the line where there might be something like that going on. I don't ever want for the Father to think that I'm mocking Him in any way. I would never do that. And yet Paul says that anybody who expects to reap something different than what they've sowed is doing just that. If you are expecting something that you have not sown, then you are mocking God. And I definitely do that. I sow 2 hours into YouTube and pray that God will help me to get my to-do list accomplished. Lord, I have just watched 1 hour and 55 minutes of cats and cucumbers. Please, Jesus, help me get the rest of my chores accomplished today. I neglect His Word, and then I come running to Him with fear and doubt and questions. I mismanage my time, and then I hope and pray that He'll get me somewhere on time, in traffic, And I don't leave with enough time to get there if there wasn't traffic. And I'm praying, Lord, let 95 somehow, like the Red Sea, part in Jesus' name. If you sow your time into meaningless activity, you don't get to be surprised that when you're done sowing your time, you have nothing to show for it. And you've got to reap the consequences of your choices. That's how sowing and reaping works. The lawn, no matter what you did instead, the lawn still has to be mowed. God, I hate my lawn. Help me, Lord. The homework still has to be done. The house has still got to be cleaned. The laundry still has to be folded. The dishes still have to be put away. And I promise you this, you definitely did not get the same amount of enjoyment being lax and not doing the chores as the amount of frustration that you now have on top of the frustration you already had because you had the things to do in the first place. So you avoided them for 2 hours. And I promise you, you did not enjoy whatever you were doing for 2 hours as much as the frustration of doing this stuff now that part of your day is gone. But we do that, don't we? I just need a break, and 4 hours later, all the chores are there. The truth is, as Paul says, if you sow to please yourself, you will never be satisfied. And you will absolutely, always, because this is an immutable and unchangeable law of God, if you sow to please yourself, you will always reap the rewards of your selfishness. We sow into our jobs and we are confused when our children don't know us. We sow into our me time and our relaxed time, and we are shocked when our marriages grow cold and distant. We sow a 50% effort into something, and then we get our feelings hurt when we reap a 50% reward. I barely tried at this, and I was hoping to get so much more back. We come to church, and we want to reap life-changing spiritual experiences, but what we've done the entire week is sow doubt, frustration, fear, and we hope that we'll come in here and reap something we haven't sown for. No worship, no word. God, please come in and change me because I've been busy sowing to myself and to my fears all week long. That is not how it works, folks. Please do not be deceived. If you come to this church seeking community, but you don't have a kind word for anybody, you never reach out to anyone, and then you are upset with each and every person who doesn't speak to you, can I tell you that that's not their fault? When you have 50 different relationships that don't fulfill you, there's one thing that's common in all of those relationships, and that is you. If you're the common denominator, maybe you should rethink how you're engaging. And the other side of that coin is this. When folks come through those doors who don't know us, if we expect them to get all out of their shells and come in here and come and shake everybody's hand and be great, that's me. That's me walking through those doors. I will come in. I don't care what the building is. I just want to know everybody's name. I will shake your hand. I will get into your personal bubble. I will make you uncomfortable. You will think, psycho over there. My wife, Christina, quiet, calm. She'll come in and sit down. She'll enjoy whatever is happening, and she'll roll right out. She's not trying to bother people because she doesn't want to be bothered. Now, in church, she's a little different. If we expect people to come in here and just get out of themselves to make relationship with us, then that's our problem and that's our fault. We should be reaching out. We've got room in our lives, people. The Lord spoke to us about expanding our tents, our beautiful, colorful tents, about lifting the roofs and lengthening our cords. Prophesied that this church has more room for the people who are coming. That's on us, ladies and gentlemen. We hear all the time that church is the problem. But church isn't the problem. The constant in the equation of people who have a problem with church is the people. The constant in your equation is you, no matter what the relationship. You will reap what you sow. But, here's where we pick it up. Here's where we all get up off the floor. But, if you will sow your time and your energy into your relationship with Jesus, that will pay dividends. It always does. It always has. It will now, and it always will. Paul says that sowing to the Spirit reaps eternal life. But so he takes the spiritual law, the natural law, just out of that, the natural law, it says you can have assurance of salvation if you will sow to the Spirit. But then that principle works on all the other lower levels as well. If you don't lose heart and you sow your time into worship and word, you will reap a harvest of peace and joy. Test me on this. I dare you to go home and this whole week spend some part or portion of every day worshiping God and reading His Word. I promise you this. I guarantee you this. When you come in next Sunday, you're going to come in with thank you, God, instead of God, I still need. Watch. That has nothing to do with me. I don't have a lot of money, but I'll bet you my pen. No, I won't. You're not supposed to bet in church. No money. I'm just saying. It's an immutable law of God. If you sow into Him, you will reap Him. If you sow worship, you will reap joy. If you sow faith, you will reap courage. If you sow hope, you will reap relationship. That's how God works. I don't care what the adversity is. I don't care what the challenge is. If you sow into the Spirit by the Spirit, you will reap the rewards of the Spirit. It's an unchangeable law. God can't not do that. Ooh, that was terrible. God has to do that. Not because I tell Him that He has to, but because by His very nature, for you to sow something, for you to reap something that does not match what you have sown in God, he can't be who He says He is. He can't. He's a lie. If you sow into Him and you don't get more of Him, something is wrong. He has to give you the harvest that you've sown. I say has to. I know. Please, I know. I'm sounding like those folks. I'm not naming and claiming. I'm not any of that kind of stuff. I'm telling you, God's very nature, He gives you the harvest that you have sown. Sow into Him, you will reap Him. If you sow your life into people, you'll reap relationship. And that's the hardest one because people are so messy. Relationships are so hard. Folks can turn on a dime, can't they? I'm not talking about those people that you've known for 35 years. I'm talking about you meet new people, and sometimes it feels like you found a best friend. I've made connections with people like that. Then you spend another 15 or 20 minutes with them, and you realize they're off their rocker. Something is wrong. They bought some rocks because their aura is a certain, and you're like, oh, okay, all right. People are messy. It's challenging. But if you sow your life into people, you will reap relationship. That's what this whole compassion model, that's what New Connection Sunday is all about. We are sowing our lives into the people around us with the hope that we will reap relationship with them, thus giving them an opportunity, giving them a reason to come and meet God. It's all about sowing and reaping. But Paul also tells us that there are two determining factors in this. I'll read it to you again. This is verse 9. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Time and weariness. It's not your time. It's God's time. And that might be the hardest thing for me in my walk with the Lord, because I really want Him to be on my time. I really need Him to be on my time. I wish He were just on crop time. You understand what I'm saying? Example, corn, take some corn seeds, they germinate somewhere from 2 to 3 weeks. After 2 to 3 weeks, you move them to a place where they can finish the rest of the growing cycle. And that growing cycle is anywhere between, let me get my numbers right, 60 to 100 days. After germination, 2 to 3 weeks, anytime between 60 to 100 days, that's when it's time to harvest. Depending on the climate, depending on the soil, there's lots of different things that go into that. Depending on the type of corn, 60 to 100 days. There's 40 days of margin in there, but I can deal with that. I can deal with knowing that if I sow something into God in faith, I've got something like 60 to 100 days to wait. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Because you would just really pull for the 60 days. And when the 60th day didn't get there, you're like, okay, I literally could be any day now. It's going to be any day now. At the longest, I'm going to wait 40 more days. But at the end of 100 days, promise fulfilled right now. Thank you, Lord. Nope, He's not on crop time. He's on His time. Because He sees your life as a whole. His perspective is global and accurate. He doesn't see your linear timeline. He turns it on its end and sees all the way through it from the front to the back. Everything off to the side are just events. He sees your steps and your timeline from your birth to your death. Time. We have to be patient, folks. Paul says, in due time. We have got to be patient in our faith. And we have to be strong. He says, in due time, we will reap if we do not grow weary. The NIV takes that, says if we don't give up. We'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. I feel very confident in saying this, and you have to be careful when you make a gross generalization, and I understand that, but I feel pretty confident that in this room, there's not a person who's over the age of 20 in here who hasn't grown weary of doing good things, who hasn't done weary of growing, doing good, doing well at some point in your life. You have been doing good in a relationship with somebody who either doesn't care or just returns evil for your good, and you are tired of it. You have been trying to hold on to your faith for something for a month, a week, several years. And you have not seen it. And due time is stretching out now. And you are growing weary in your faith and the doing of the good. You've got something living within you that you have prayed for God to take out of, like Paul prayed for that thorn to come out of the side. And it still challenges you. And it still pulls at you. And it still wants your attention. And you are growing weary and constantly trying to have faith and hope, coming to church and giving it to Him over and over. We have got to be strong, folks, because we're not on our time, we're on His time. This is how you get through. Jesus says very clearly, if we come to Him when we are weary, He will give us rest. Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. But there's a catch even to that, because you cannot reap Jesus if you haven't sown it into your heart. I feel very impressed about this in this moment. And I want to be careful when I say the next few things to you. You may think that no one can see what you're sowing into your life right now, but God does. You may think that no one knows. You may think you come here, and because you come here, the people around you think certain things about you, which are mostly true. You are pretty sure the people around you, you're pretty sure the connections in your life, the important relationships no one can see, but you are sowing something into your life that you think no one sees, but He can see it. And you are wondering why you are reaping the things that you are reaping, why there's never enough happiness, why you just can't ever seem to get ahead, why your relationships aren't fulfilling, why you can't seem to move forward, why you are stuck. You don't think anybody sees, but He sees. You think you've got everybody fooled. And maybe the people around you can't see it, but God can. My friend, my brother, my sister, if you are sowing something into your life in the midnight hours where you think no one is watching, the Holy Spirit sees you. God sees you. This is not about judgment. This is not about punishment. This is about you understanding that you will never reap what you need as long as you continue to sow to the darkness. As long as you continue to sow to self. As you're trying to meet your own needs by sowing into yourself, and you come out empty every time. And you keep sowing, and it keeps getting worse, and it keeps getting longer. It's been years now. It's been years that you've been sowing destruction. And you think no one sees. And you're not any better. You're not feeling any better. You are lying to yourself. Father, I pray in this moment, as we all of us begin to bring out those things within us that we would bring out into the light of your love, into your grace, into your mercy, and say, here's what we have been sowing, and we know it, and you know it, even if the people around us don't know it. God, we no longer want to reap the whirlwind. We no longer want to reap a harvest of frustration or disappointment or entitlement, destructive entitlement, or hurt or anxiety or depression or rejection. We don't want to reap that anymore. So we choose in Jesus' name in this moment to pull all of those crops of destruction up. We tear it all up, Father, in this moment. We uproot every plant that we have allowed to grow, every weed and every tear that we've allowed to grow in our hearts and in our minds. We uproot those in Jesus' name right now with the power of your Spirit. We uproot them. And Father, we begin to plant faith, just the seeds of faith, into our hearts and into our minds and into our very souls. We tear out all of the garbage and all of these weeds and these thorns. They are sucking us dry of our spiritual health and wellness. We are weary, not of doing well, but of holding up the facade. We are weary of the lie. So God, I pray that you would begin to just till the ground of our hearts, each and every person in here. You would begin to till the grounds of our minds, God. They've got to become fertile again for your word and for your love and for our relationship with you. Father, I pray that we would each begin to just begin to plant truth. Begin to plant the truth back into your lives again. Begin to plant hope. I know you don't have any hope left. Start planting it again. Begin to plant with the faith that increased today, with the faith that God has given you because of his work and his move today here in our presence. Begin to plant that faith deep into your soul. And for that one, for those who have been sowing to the darkness and sowing to self, God, I pray that your light would find its way in, little by little. It's a terrifying thought. God, some of us are terrified to think of giving up some of these behaviors, some of these things that we're doing. We're terrified that if we give those things up, we're using them right now. We're using them to cope. We're using them to battle. We're using them to try to make things right in our minds. There's a scale. There's someone is trying to balance a scale. You are trying to, the things that you're doing, you're trying to balance a scale in your life. You have taken your life into your own hands and you have said, if God will give me justice, I will do it. I will do whatever it takes to make it right in my life. Oh, Father, I pray that that person would be broken in these moments. That scale would be shattered because it's not on them. It's not their responsibility to bring balance. If they will just look to you and lean on you and let this go in Jesus' name and be freed from it, then you will fill them with all the good things that they desperately desire, and they won't have to fake it anymore. Sowing and reaping is an unchangeable law of God. You cannot get something that you have not sown. And whatever you plant, you will reap. Change us, Father, in this moment. Give us the courage. Give us the courage to make the move. Give us the courage to make the shift. Give us the courage, God. Help us in our weakness. Love, and help us to plant acceptance, and help us to plant encouragement, not just in our own lives, but in the lives of the people around us. Father, in 6 short days, we are praying and believing that the people that we have been praying for will come here to Maranatha so that we can begin to sow the seeds of life change and salvation into their hearts. I pray for each and every person on that list, God. I pray that for those, some of you have already heard back and you've got folks that you asked us to pray for and they're not coming. That's okay, God, we plant a seed. I pray that this is just the beginning of reaping a harvest in their lives, even the ones who have said no. And I pray for all of those who have said yes or are still on the fence. I pray, God, that you would speak to them through these relationships that we have with them. Not that we're going to be ugly or nagging. We're not judgmental. We're not saying come or else. We're just saying, come on, meet some good people, eat some amazing food, and see what church is all about. We pray for those folks, God. We pray for a harvest. We have been sowing in relationship. We pray that you would reap souls, that you would reap lives, that the kingdom would grow because of what you have done through us. I thank you, God, and I pray each and every person here would have a greater understanding of how and what to sow into their lives to reap the things that they so need. So I pray that we would sow you and your spirit into everything that we do, so that we can reap relationships, so that we can reap joy, so that we can reap gratitude, so that we can reap patience, so that we can reap love. I thank you, God. And I praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen. Amen.